Good morning, all. And today we're continuing our series on the first letter of John, and also looking at John's gospel. And there's so much in this reading. I could happily speak for hours on these. You'll be glad to know I'm not allowed to. As Marian has said, we're focusing the theme on friends, because the gospel reading has the "but I have called you friends." Now, we know that the Christian faith is special, in that we know that we're children of God, and we pray to our Father in heaven. We are heirs with Christ. And if you've been brought up in the Christian faith, you may treat this statement about us being children of God almost in a bit of a blasé way. We all know that God is love, and so it doesn't then take a great leap to think of ourselves as friends with God. We even sing songs such as "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." But in most faiths, being friendly with one's God is a real no-no. You're supposed to keep an appropriate distance and worship from afar. So being family or even a friend of our God is an amazing thing. So think about that for a moment, as if you'd heard it for the first time. The God who created everything, the world and everything in it, is our friend, our Father, and his one true Son calls us his friends. In fact, we are loved so much that Jesus Christ gave up his life to make us truly free. That is a true friend showing sacrificial love. And that's our God showing sacrificial love to us. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, it's been difficult the last year or so meeting up with friends and family. And you'll often hear people saying how much they miss spending time with their true friends. And isn't Jesus the type of true friend that we ought to want to spend time with? And of course, we can so easily, lockdown or not, we can spend time in prayer or reading the Bible or just resting in his presence. But of course, during lockdown, many of us have spent a lot more time with our family and not as much time with our friends. And you may have heard it said that you can choose your friends, but not your family. Well, that is true, I suppose, and it's also true for our church family. By being a Christian in this area, we become part of God's family in this area and are called to live as family. Now, I know that we all try and do what we can within our community, and there are some brilliant examples of great friendships and support within our church family. And that's great, but we need to remember that the people who are not part of our small Whitewater church family. Now, if you're anything like me, and I've got to be careful how I say this, you may not always enjoy being with your family. In most families, there are some form of disagreement and tension occasionally, especially in the wider family. And that is also true, unfortunately, within the church family. But hopefully not in Whitewater benefits, but undoubtedly in the global church family, there are sort of tensions and disagreements. So how do we know that we are living as we should, as children of God, within that wider church family? Well, we often hear that we are saved by God's grace, and we don't need to do anything, in fact, can't do anything, to earn God's love and the amazing rewards such as eternal life that come with that divine love. But let's listen to part of John's first letter again. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome." So if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we are children of God, and we need to love God and our fellow children. Now, that's not a surprise. You know, it mirrors what Jesus flagged as the two key commandments of love God and love your neighbor, although here it's slightly more specific as love our fellow believers. But John says that we need to love God and obey his commandments. It says, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So it's all very well claiming to love God, but if we want to genuinely be children of God and love our fellow children of God, we also need to obey his commandments. So what are his commandments? Well, this may seem a bit circular, but Jesus said it was all basically summed up by needing to love God and our neighbor. So what does that look like? Well, to be honest, I cheated slightly by summarizing the two as love God and love your neighbor. The first is actually love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So there's not to be anything half-hearted or part-time about it. And you all know that piece. And the second is this, and again, you all know this, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is the one I want to focus on a little bit more this morning. It's not a sort of a vague, be nice to other people. It's love your neighbor as yourself. I think we sometimes forget those last two words. Think about that. As yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not in a secondary way, but as though they were us. Let me throw out a few rhetorical questions to make us all think about this one. When we buy stuff for the food bank, do we buy cheaper products for the food bank than we buy for ourselves? Love our neighbors as ourselves? Do we spend more on holidays for ourselves than we give to charity each year? If we have a cleaner, do we pay the cleaner when we go on holiday and we don't need them to clean? Why should their income suffer when we're on holiday? Is giving to church and to charity done as an afterthought after we've spent the stuff on ourselves and then we see what's got left? Or is it a key part of our financial planning? Are we loving others as ourselves? Do we sometimes claim not to have time to help out with a charity, be that collecting money or helping in a charity shop or whatever, and yet we still have plenty of time for our own hobbies? Do we find ourselves claiming to be lonely, wondering why people don't call or visit us, and yet we don't find the time to talk to strangers or those in need? Now, unfortunately, there are no clear rules on how to act in most situations we find ourselves in. We can, of course, use the cliched rule, what would Jesus do? However, that only works if we think we know what Jesus would do. Now, we're focusing today on friendship, and friendship is a funny thing and often seems quite fleeting. If you looked at the pictures that Marion put up representing friends and friendships, the friends all looked quite similar ages, you imagine similar interests. And of course, that is why we choose our friends, because we enjoy being with them. However, if we're honest, many of those friends are short-term, almost passing acquaintances, the people we met at school or perhaps at workplaces, might be friends for a little while, but then we move on. However, most of us will have at least one or two true friends whose friendship brings us great comfort and joy. Probably those friends that we've known for a long time and where we spend loads of time with them. The ones who truly know us and we really know them. The sort of friend who we know what drink they will want in a pub, what sort of food they will order, what television programs they like, how they will react in certain situations. And Jesus should be that type of friend. For us to really know Jesus like that, we need to be familiar with the Bible and his many teachings contained therein. We also need to commit to prayer and to listening for His word and the Holy Spirit's guidance. Now, I mentioned earlier that we can't choose our family, but we can choose our friends. And we can choose to be a friend of Jesus. But listen to the words of Jesus again from our gospel reading. "You are my friends if you do what I command of you. You are my friends if you do what I command you." True friends stick together through thick and thin, not just on sunny Sundays. Christ is a true friend to us. He's shown us sacrificial love. Do we want to be a true friend to Him? If we do, we need to spend time with Him, knowing what His commands are, and to follow them and to follow Christ, to live as a friend of Christ. Doing that can bring us and Him great joy. So if we are part of God's family and want to be a friend of Christ, it really is quite simple. Really, truly commit wholeheartedly to loving God and following His commands, especially the one about loving our fellow children in thought and word and deed, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for welcoming us as your children. Please help us live lives worthy of being called friends of Jesus. Amen.